Today, as we come to the table,
either you be judged or it can fall on my son. You make the choice. He says, I'll strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I love this. Look at verse 13. This is straight to the Jews again, but for all of us. Now the blood shall be a what? A sign. Why a sign? You see, the blood itself didn't forgive sin. Not the blood of animals. The Bible says the blood of animals can't forgive sin. It could temporarily cover the sins by an act of obedience, but the only blood that takes sin away is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus on the cross.
Today, Pastor Mark will continue teaching about what we now know as Passover and why it points to Jesus. As the final plague was about to start, God asked his people to do something unique. They needed to put blood on their doorposts. This was a sign to the angel of death. These houses are set apart for the Lord. They're under his protection. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Now, think about the cross that Jesus died on. His blood was shed for you. It covers your sin and places you in God's family, in his love forever. It's a sign that death cannot claim you. You are forever protected by this blood, if you choose to accept it. Now, open your Bible to Exodus chapter 11. As Pastor Mark continues his message, the 10th plague, death of the firstborn, and principles of redemption.
I don't know if you've ever seen a lamb sacrificed. I hadn't until recently, and it's something I never really want to see again. I made myself watch it because I wanted to get the feeling of what they got when they did that, so they would understand what Jesus had done and the picture God was painting. Now, if you lived in that culture and you watched animal sacrifice on a regular basis, and don't worry, we didn't have some animal sacrifice in the backyard. I was watching a video. Because today in Samaria, the Samaritans still sacrifice every year at Passover. They sacrifice lambs because they believe they're still under the law, and they sacrifice these lambs. And there was a believer who did a video documentary on it. Very disturbing to me. I guess the reason is you love animals and you think how sweet they are, and you see how innocent a little lamb is, and you're like, oh my, you know. It's almost more than, anyway, it was pretty rough to get through because the process of what they do. And just watching, even what they do today, even in Samaria, they'll take the lamb and they give the lamb a drink of water from a chalice before they sacrifice it. Now, I don't know why they think they're doing that, but remember Jesus on the cross? Right before they hung him on the cross, they gave him a drink, and then was on the cross, they gave him another drink. This whole picture is still being played out today of what they did with the lamb. But you'd watch the lamb for 4 days, you would see how innocent, how sweet, how cute, you'd become attached. And then 4 days later, everybody would go and sacrifice and kill that lamb at twilight. The leader of the home, the father of the household. I mean, I would have been the one having to kill it. And I know if I grew up in that culture and I'd seen it since I was a kid, it would have been a lot easier to do. But to jump in at my age now and to see that and somebody say, kill that lamb, I don't think I could do it. Now, if God asked me to do it, I could do it. I close my eyes, grip my teeth and say, Lord, if you're asking me to do this, I'll do it. But he wouldn't ask me to do that. But that's how hard it would be. It would take a command of God for me to be able to sacrifice an animal. And yet they did this on a regular basis, not just at the Passover, but on a regular basis, they would sacrifice the animals for their sins. This is the whole picture of the animal sacrifice, right? That what Christ has done for us. And then they sacrifice it, the animal, at twilight. Again, the twilight time, sacrificing between like 3 o'clock and to the end as the sun began to go down, the terminology for when they would classify twilight. Obviously, right now, you should begin to see the picture. Remember when Jesus Christ, guys, he rode in to Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. We're going to be celebrating Palm Sunday here on April 1st. Jesus rode in. Here in just a couple of weeks, we're going to celebrate when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And it says that for the next 4 days, he was examined by everyone on the Temple Mount. The Pharisees questioned him, and he silenced them. The Sadducees questioned him and he silenced them. The Jews questioned him and he silenced them. The government questioned him and he silenced them. For 4 days, they did this to the Lord and they questioned him the same way that they did the Passover lamb. Amazing. Leading up to the Passover and then the crucifixion and all that. So the picture here is just amazing. And what's even more amazing, at the very time, at the very moment that they would sacrifice the lambs is the moment that Jesus was crucified on the cross, because it tells us in the Gospels what time it was. And he was crucified on the cross at the exact same time that they crucified the Passover lambs. Now, what gets even more intense than that, if you've been to Israel, is up on Golgotha, the hill, the way Mount Zion works, it goes up a hill up to a higher place. Now, it's flat on the temple area now because they leveled it off, and or they actually filled in around it and made a big flat area, but it still works up the hill to Golgotha. And from Golgotha, where they are, from that area up there, straight down to where the priests would go down to the corner and blow the trumpets, you can almost, I mean, it might even have been possible from the cross to see down there. But the bottom line is they would blow these trumpets and they would sacrifice the lambs. That's exactly when the Lord was being crucified. And so the whole picture that God is giving here is exactly what happened in reality with Christ. And the whole assembly, again, getting one lamb, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, they would all sacrifice an individual lamb, but remember what John said. John said, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Every Jew would have realized, you're saying he's the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb is the one that takes away the sins of the world. When they had the Last Supper, Jesus was talking to them. He said, take this bread, eat it. This is my body. Take the cup, drink it. This is my blood. It wasn't literal body. It wasn't literal blood. We know that because Jesus was still standing there. They weren't eating him. There he was. No, he was saying, this is representative of my body. This is representative of my blood. And then Jesus, remember he told his followers earlier on before that, he said, if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. Remember that? And because there were some of them that couldn't see and understand spiritually, they started leaving. They started walking away. He said, I'm not talking about my physical body and blood. I'm saying, you've got to take me in. And I've given the Passover lamb as a picture of that. As we're going to see, every bit of the Passover lamb was to be eaten. And I bet there's no way we're going to get through chapter 12 tonight. But every bit of the Passover lamb was to be eaten, even as all of Jesus is to be taken in, guys. None of him's left out. Every bit of him is for us, and every bit of him is to be taken in and to become a part of us. We're to assimilate the Lord, him to be us, we to be him. The Father and he are one, we and the Lord are one. And notice, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts, that is on both sides, and on the lintel, which is up top, where the houses are. Now, in a minute, we're going to see, he said, if you put the blood on your house, then the death angel that's going to come through to kill all the firstborn, he will pass over you and not kill you or kill your firstborn. That's where we get the term pass over. That's where it comes from. But this is so cool to me. They would take, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you this one. If you put blood on this side of the door, on that side of the door, and on the top, as the blood runs down, what does that make? It makes a cross. And on all the doors of those who were protected from the judgment of the death angel, it was a blood cross. Is that not awesome or what? Now, this, of course, is all by chance. Amazing. Then they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. By the way, guess what they put the blood up on the doorpost and the lintels with? Hyssop. Hyssop was a plant that has these leaves that have little hairs on it. The reason they would use hyssop is because when you dip the hyssop down into the blood, it would stick to it. Because the blood kind of held as, you know, kind of worked as a thing to hold some of the blood in place. And then they would strike it with that. You remember when Jesus was on the cross and they lifted the drink up to him? Do you remember what they used to lift the sponge up to him? They put it on hyssop. You see the picture the Lord was giving them. Any Jew that watched this or read about this had to be going, wait a minute, there was a cross on our doors in Egypt. He's on a cross. They didn't even have crosses yet at this time. Hyssop on the door. They're using hyssop to lift it up. I mean, you honestly, if you're Jewish and you know anything about Jewish history, you have to make up your mind. I will not believe. I don't care what you show me. I refuse to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I've made up my mind and that settles it. There's no other way you can do this. You cannot deny the scriptures and what Jesus did unless you make up a firm, hard mind. Now you know what God said. You're a stiff-necked people. He tells the Jews, you're stiff-necked. Now, I love them. And many of them are our future brothers and sisters, aren't they? And people are still trying to deny them their right to the land. Not only are the Palestinians saying, we don't want them to have any land, and we want Jerusalem as our capital, we want to take everything, they're denying that the Jews were even there. Today I was reading an article. They sold they found a temple shekel that dates back to 66 AD. Okay? It sold today, either today or this week. It sold maybe today. I read the article today, so I'm not sure exactly, but recently here in the last couple of days, it's one shekel, right? Sold for $1.2 million. It's either $1.1 or $1.2 million. There's only two that are that old known in the world. And it has Hebrew writing on it and has the date and all things, and they've authenticated, they say it is, and they had the temple. Well, the Palestinians are now saying, well, that's really a Palestinian shekel. Because the Jews didn't even exist. They weren't even here then. You talk about blatant denial. And yet there are some people that will say, you know, we'll agree with them. But God has imprinted their fingerprint in Jerusalem. You can't get rid of it. It's as hard to get rid of a bloodstain. The blood of Jesus Christ. It would be like getting rid of that bloodstain to try to say the Jews were not in the land. It's amazing what they try. So they use the hyssop. They would put it on the doors. Then in verse 8, then they shall eat the flesh on that night. Remember that night the Lord was taken off the cross. It was all done that night. There wasn't an extension. It didn't last till the next day. And this is key because sometimes they would hang on the cross for days. It took some people 6-7 days to die on the cross. Jesus died that. He died in 6 hours. He died that day because the Lord, he released his spirit. The Lord let him go. So on that night, this is all fulfilling the picture of the cross, roasted in fire. Remember, Jesus went through the trial of fire on the cross. With unleavened bread and with bitter herbs you shall eat it. Again, notice the two things. It was very bitter. The bitter herbs, Jesus' death was a very bitter death. It says he despised the shame, but for the joy set before him, he endured it. But notice also it says it was with unleavened bread. Remember what leaven stands for in Scripture. Two things, really, evil and sin. Leaven stands for evil and sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he did away with what? All evil and sin. Now, we still have evil and sin, but he paid for all of it. So the lamb was to be roasted in fire. The lamb was to be with unleavened bread that is sin-free. His sacrifice on the cross has done away with it, although it was bitter, and with bitter herbs you shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all in water, but roast it in the fire. And again, that whole picture of the suffering the Lord went through. Its head, its legs, and its entrails. This is one sacrifice where you would roast the entire animal. There are other times you would cut different pieces up and all this. You roasted the entire animal here. And again, the picture was every bit of Jesus was given for us. And we have to accept every bit of him to truly have him. And thus you shall eat it with your belt on your waist. I love this. Your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. Two things to note here. Number one, listen, now's the time to receive Jesus. God gives the example. When you hear about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you on the cross, the fact that he died for you, you need to be ready. When they had their staff in hand, notice they had, this is a picture of someone who's ready to take off. Their sandals are on their feet, although it's going to be at midnight. Their shoes are still on. Notice their belt is on their waist. They're ready. They're clothed. They're dressed. Their staff's in their hand. They're ready to head out into the wilderness when Pharaoh kicks them out of the land. The bottom line is when Jesus reveals himself to you, you need to be ready. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation, not I'll think about it. If God convicts your heart, make the decision, receive Christ. But the second thing I want you to know about this is that, you know what? The moment we give our life to the Lord, the moment we accept that Passover lamb, man, it's time to get out of the world. It's time. We need to have staff in hand, belt wrapped around us, shoes on. We're done with the world. We're leaving the world behind. We're now going to follow the Lord. And you know what? That we're pilgrims. We're hikers. We got our hiking stick. We're just traveling through. We don't belong here. And so there's this whole picture of not belonging here, not being a part of here, getting out of here, being separate from the world. That's exactly what he's given a picture of here. Come on, guys, be ready to go. You accept the Passover lamb the moment you're convicted, and then you know what? You take off when you're done. You get out of here. You're just a pilgrim passing through, and he's wearing his pilgrim clothes, if you will. You know, not the little buckles and all, but different kind of pilgrim. But same idea. Just passing through and living in tents, so to speak, these earthly tent of our body. He says, so be ready. You shall eat it in haste. Make that decision now. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night. I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Again, that whole picture of either my firstborn or yours. Either you be judged or it can fall on my son. You make the choice. He says, I'll strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. I love this. Look at verse 13. This is straight to the Jews again, but for all of us. Now the blood shall be a what? A sign. Why a sign? You see, the blood itself didn't forgive sin. not the blood of animals. The Bible says the blood of animals can't forgive sin. It could temporarily cover the sins by an act of obedience, but the only blood that takes sin away is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood of Jesus on the cross. And so notice he says, it is a sign of what? A sign of the future blood of the Lamb that's to be slain for the entire world. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when you see the blood, I will pass over you. There it is, Passover. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when you strike the land of Egypt. If we have the blood of Jesus on us, then the plague of the Lord is not on us. Just the blessing. Isn't that great? Man, let's not take it for granted, guys. Because it's on the world. It's still on Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. And they still do today. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Again, this is that picture of Jesus dying forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats the leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that person shall be cut off, or literally killed, cut off from Israel, publicly executed. So when they would celebrate the Passover lamb dying, no leaven that whole week. Now for them, it was just a week without leaven. But get the picture here. The number 7 in Scripture is the number of completion. And the picture that God was painting was when Jesus Christ dies on that cross, all sin will be completely washed away. There will be no more leaven for those who are in Christ. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? The leaven has been washed away. It's done. It's finished. So the whole picture here of doing this for 7 days, he said, if you don't, you're going to be cut off. Again, the person who doesn't receive Christ will be judged eternally, is the picture here. Verse 16, on the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover really kind of ran right together. They really were both on really the same day. You know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the day right before, really right there at the same time the Passover started, kind of went into it, then the Passover. And it's that whole picture of the Passover lamb taking away all the leaven. And what they would do, they still do it today. They would have them go in before the week of the Passover. They had to get all the leaven out of the house. So the Jews, they'd move everything, you know, move the couch, move this, move that, whatever. And they'd get all the leaven out, getting ready for it, because you had to have all the leaven gone. Now, they don't understand really why. They didn't understand what Jesus was going to do on the cross as far as removing all the leaven. But look at that picture. And that is, if you're coming to Christ, you got to turn from your sin. You can't take your sin with you. And then the Lord takes care of it and washes it away. So they had to remove it. It's an everlasting ordinance. Observe the day throughout all your generations. He said, this will be for the same day I brought your armies out of the land, verse 18, in the first month on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leaven, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he's a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. So God gives him the instruction, and then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourselves according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop. There it is. That whole picture at the cross now. Dip it in blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the doorpost with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. That is, you stay under the covering of the Lord and you'll be protected. Under the blood. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. That is, we would say those of the world. Egyptian, a type of the world. And when he sees the blood on the lintel on the doorpost, when the death angel comes and he sees the cross and the blood, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses or to strike you. Isn't it great to think when judgment day comes, God's going to see that cross over the door of your heart? That one's mine. No judgment there. That one's mine. I love it. You shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. And it will come to pass when you come into the land that the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? Now, I love it. God built into the Passover, he built in the questioning children. Why? Because when the children would ask the questions, they would learn the answers, and we as adults would be reminded. So every time you celebrate the Passover, the kids would say, why are you doing this? because we have to have the blood of the lamb to sacrifice for our sins so that the death angel will pass over us and all these things they would have the kids say. So the kids are learning it, right? They're being taught as children up, and the adults are being reminded of it. We need to be reminded. So the children would ask, what is this service? That you shall say, here's what you tell them. It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and worshiped. Again, what a beautiful picture of the dads and the families teaching their kids the word of God. I love it. Then the children of Israel went away, and they did so just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. So notice, even the livestock firstborn died. Why? Because when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just for mankind to be redeemed. He redeemed the earth to himself. The Bible says creation groans to be restored. Even creation is going to be restored from the fall. Isn't that great? And that was all accomplished by Christ on the cross. So even the livestock, firstborn, they have to be killed as well. So Pharaoh rose in the night. Now again, this is the one that finally gets him. Before we go to verse 30, remember all these plagues, boom, 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 boom. Pharaoh's like, get out of here. I'm not going to do it. Get out of here. Shut up. Whatever, this kind of thing. Now, God brought in the pain enough in Pharaoh's heart to say, you know what? This is it. I can't do this anymore. There are some that believe this particular Pharaoh only had one child. If they have the proper Pharaoh, historically, all he had was one child, which means his only child, the only one he had, his only son. It wasn't just his firstborn, it was his only son and no predecessor to the throne. And this is why some believe that Moses would have been the next Pharaoh had he stayed in Egypt, so to speak, because he was the adopted son of Pharaoh, of earlier Pharaoh, if you will. Again, he now comes back and deals with this, and now Pharaoh's son dies. Verse 30, so Pharaoh rose in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. That is for those who had not put the blood of the lamb there. And then he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and he said, rise and go out among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. In other words, get out of here. I'm going to drive you out now. You know, this is enough. You got to go. So, and the Lord told Moses, he said, hey, when I bring this 10th plague, he won't just let you go. He's going to drive you out. Now that's what he's doing. Also, take your flocks, take your herds, as you've said, and be gone, and bless me also. Just get out of here, you know, kind of before we all die, all right? Just go. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. And again, the dough before it was kneaded, it was unleavened bread. They had it ready to go. It was bound up. They were all dressed and ready to go. And now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses. And they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of clothing. Now, why did they do this? Well, let's go on. Notice this. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now you might say, that doesn't sound fair. They just went and asked them for gold and silver and clothes, and they gave them everything out of their homes. Hey, listen, this was for over 400 years of service in the land of Egypt.
The Old Testament book of Exodus might sound like a far-fetched plot line for a movie with lots of CGI, but the truth is, the accounts in Exodus actually happened, and there were startling results for the Israelites, as well as for the people of Egypt. God proved his sovereignty, reigning over weather, an entire nation's economy, and most importantly, the hearts of people. There was much loss and devastation that occurred due to consequences that God handed out in Egypt. But through this, he showed his might, power, and ability to bring his people who were imprisoned to a state of freedom. Now that's a plot line to get behind, seeing God bring about redemption on a grand scale. If you're wrestling with anything you've heard today about God or his ways, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about anything that feels unsettling. You can fill out a question or comment form at thewaymedia.net. Under the Come to the Table link, you can also give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come join us at Calvary Knoxville. Simply go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, we encourage you to find them on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share from this book next time, so make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.